Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 282, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hi.
What are you doing on loudspeaker on my phone?
Well, it took over 3 years.
Yeah.
But good old COVID got me. Finally got me. 3 years.
How are you going with it?
I'm okay, actually. I don't want to say that out loud in case it's like, I'm going to make this really awful on you. But I have to say, I've had worse colds.
Okay.
I think I've escaped. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. But I know a lot of people have had it a lot worse.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm okay. Let's hope it stays like that.
All right. Well, what we'll do with this episode, we'll make it a little bit different then. We'll just talk about some news, and we were supposed to have a guest on, Ariana, who has written a musical. We want to find out, you know, how and why you write a musical, you know, what's the process.
Undertaking.
Yeah, totally. So we might let you sit that out, but I will bring you back for the quiz because the quiz is for you.
I mean, I'm so good at them, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're entertaining. That's exactly what it is.
I was like high scoring. That's what I was thinking.
Well, why don't we get into the news? Because the first one I got, I was like, oh, my God, this is perfect for you. It's about Real Housewives.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I've got it.
Oh, okay. Real Housewives Girls Trip.
Yes.
Ultimate Girls Trip, sorry.
Is
going to have the Real Housewives of New York City, what do you call them, like old school?
Legacy. So the New York City Housewives were essentially kind of cancelled a couple of years ago. They had such bad ratings from one of the seasons, they never went to reunion. The season just stopped. And so there was this big question mark over them for a couple of years as to what's going to happen, where are they going? And even the cast members were like, are we fired? Are we, like, what's going on? And some were adamant that they had been famously put on pause by Andy Cohen. So there were whispers in the pipeline, something was happening, but they weren't sure what. And they have just released, Bravo have just said they are going to do an Ultimate Girls Trip with, now they're saying the original, the OG.
But they're not real, like that kind of are, but not.
Two of them are the originals. A couple of others have done many, many, many years, many seasons. But there's one in there that I only remember maybe one season. But what they are doing is they're taking them back to St. Bart's, where season five cast did their annual trip together.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking them back to that space.
So I've got these names. I've got Ramona, Sonia, Luann, and Dorinda.
Yes. So they're our biggies, our big names. And there's another woman. Do you have her name too?
I probably deleted it.
So another beautiful woman, but I feel like she only did maybe one, maybe two seasons. But she's in the cast. She's been announced as well. So maybe they were just trying to get who was popular. I don't know.
Maybe.
Or who would say yes?
You know that they would have wanted, what's her face? Bethany.
Yeah, Bethany. Now, funny that they didn't ask Jill Zarin back, because Jill was one of the OG housewives and has also done a Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. And from that season of Ultimate Girls Trip, Jill Zarin was alluding to the fact that she was trying really hard to get back in. Maybe she just wasn't entertaining enough. I don't know.
Not interesting.
But what was funny was all the media was showing the OG housewives with Ariana Maddox, who is the famously scorned girlfriend of the Scandal scandal from Vanderpump Rules, and they kept doing all the photos with her, and it was like, what? Is she going into Housewives?
They just wanted her for press.
They just had her for press. They milked her for all it's worth.
So do you have any other Real Housewives gossip or news that we can?
I have a little bit. So we've been talking about the Real Housewives of New York legacy group. And what Bravo has also announced and released is the trailer for the brand new season of the Real Housewives of New York, the new era. So when they just stopped Real Housewives of New York, when they just stopped it and they were like, we don't know what we're going to do, it needs a whole new revamp, they just, I guess, famously put it on pause for a couple of years. Now they've got a brand new cast. So I think it's got a few tongues wagging and a lot of people who are eagerly anticipating seeing it. But the trailer, to me, yeah, it was exciting, but I didn't know any of the people, so didn't make me like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. We'll wait and see. But there are rumors out there that the Real Housewives of New Jersey are being shelved after a very disappointing last season. So, and I have to agree with them. It's been a really boring season. But the previous season has wrapped. They have filmed the reunion. So we'll wait and see what happens with New Jersey.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting because it surprises me that New York was not popular for a while. It surprises me that New Jersey wasn't, because these two are like, I mean, not the oldest of the series, but still they've been around for years.
And Teresa Giudice, who is New Jersey, now holds the title of the longest running housewife. So she was there from day dot of New Jersey and has not left. She even went to jail and they did not film while she was in jail so that they could keep her in the seasons. And she has taken that title from Vicki Gunvalson, who was famously fired from the new house. The Real Housewives of Orange County. So I was shocked that New York was canned, but I think the women on it were just doing the same thing and there was nothing fresh, there was nothing new. They were perhaps a little bit behind the times. They weren't woke enough. And I think New Jersey has just run out of steam. They've been hitting a family drama on the head for years and years and years. Nothing's changing. Nothing's getting better. Nothing's getting worse. And it's just getting boring to watch. Like, move on. The families don't like each other.
Same old thing over and over again. Yeah, I get
it. Exactly. And it has been for years and years. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a huge shakeup. But then, in my opinion, Teresa Giudice needs to go. She's as boring as
stuff.
But Bravo seems to love her. So I reckon she'll probably stay. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Anyway, that's my Bravo.
Good.
Love affair right there.
Yeah. Bit of gossip. I love it. Well, yeah, you know how we were talking about Dave Bautista? Well, because he was in the onion, what's it called? Not the onion, glass onion. Yeah, I was like, onion show.
Onion ring.
Onion. Well, because we really enjoyed him in that, I thought, well, he's also just been in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And when I saw his name come up under a new film, I went, all right, let me have a look at what it's all about. So he's going to be in a film called The Killer's Game, which is an action comedy. So I can totally see him doing that. He'd be absolutely perfect.
Action comedy, they're always good, aren't they?
Yeah, always good fun.
So much fun.
And Chester the cat's here and he's trying to talk to you, I think, because he's like, he's right up on the desk and everything.
He's like, where is she?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's it. But so what it's about is about a veteran assassin who is Dave Bautista, and he is diagnosed with some sort of life-threatening illness and he gets authority to kill, right?
Yeah.
Authorizes a kill on himself to avoid the pain.
on himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's destined, you know, like that's what's going to happen, right? So after the order to kill, he then finds out that he was actually misdiagnosed. So he's now got to fend off all of his former colleagues, aka assassins, who are all trying to kill him because that's what he wanted them to do.
That is priceless.
It sounds fun.
That is great.
Sounds really, really good fun.
How has that never been a story before? That's brilliant. I'm there. I'm watching it.
Yeah, I think so too. So the killer's game, that's the one that we have to keep a lookout for because it sounds like I can see him as that character. Like I can see him. It's going to be perfect. Obviously a long way off because they've only just announced it.
Yeah.
But something to look forward to. And the other one that I've got is that Jackie Chan is about to star in a $50 million action sequel to a movie that he did back in 2005, obviously martial arts, but fantasy kind of adventure. It was called The Myth. So The Legend is the sequel of this. So he's going to star as the same character, so the archaeologist. And it all begins with he notices that a texture on some of the artifacts that his students, because he's a archaeology expert professor, so, you know, he teaches people, they discover this texture on some of the artifacts that they found during a glacier expedition. And he was like, hang on a second, these look a lot like a jade pendant that I have been dreaming about. And he's like, hang on a second, does this pendant do something between like dreams and reality? Could I potentially go into dreams and back into reality and back and forth?
I was not expecting a Jackie Chan movie to go there.
I think I can see it though. I reckon I can see what that is. And I think that people are going to lap it up.
Yep.
Just a really good fun film with a lot of really awesome martial art scenes and choreography in there. And I mean, it's Jackie Chan, for goodness sake.
Dreams are so intriguing.
Yeah.
You know, there have been other movies as well that, because it's so open-ended, you could go anywhere with it.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
So cool that one's a lot of fun. And literally everything that we've talked about, I want to watch. Like, I do want to see Luann get really drunk with Sonia and Ramona.
And Ramona.
I want to see Dave Bautista trying to fend off his ex-workmates. And I want to see Jackie Chan as an archaeologist going into other people's dreams. There's never no vibe out of this. I'm going to let you go and have.
It does. Is an archaeologist who goes into people's dreams.
That's the real one. I thought maybe you could go and like have a little lie down.
For
about 20 minutes or something.
A little drink of water.
And I'll bring you back for the quiz because it's one about being sick, you know, and the people that help you when you're sick.
Yeah, that sounds so on topic.
All right, see you in 20-ish minutes.
All right, see you then.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, this week instead of watching suggestions, we've got a very special guest, Ariana Schneider, who is all things music is probably sits in her passion. But what is really fascinating is that she's written a musical, and I want to know what makes someone want to write a musical. Do you come up with the story first? Is it the music first? How does it all come together? And I thought we'd get her onto the podcast and sit her down, probably not strap her down, but just like sit her down and be really nice and polite to her and maybe ask some questions. Ariana, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Leah. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. It's kind of the middle or coming up to the middle of the year here in Australia, so that, you know, we've got winter and a lot of people are starting to get a bit sick. We've got a few, you know, now we've got the cold, we've got the flu, and now we've got COVID, and we've got three things all happening at once.
I can attest to that because I'm just getting over the flu.
Yeah, right, okay. Was it a really bad one or...?
Very painful, yeah, like a lot of physical pain. But I'm getting better now.
Good.
Still just a blocked, so if I get a bit of a cough.
Yeah. So what when you've got the flu or a cold or something that will mess with not just like your throat or your vocal cords, but also like your sinuses and your ears and stuff. Does it make you want to do less with music or more? Because I would imagine sometimes, you know, if you've got your headphones on or whatnot and you're listening to music or creating something, and if your ears are a bit funny, you know, with being all blocked up, does that make things difficult for you or just unpleasant?
Not really, no. I think when you've been in an industry for so long and you've learned to step up, you just do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you just have to because you have to.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I get it. And you said that you've been in this sort of industry for many years. Can you give us like a quick background?
Well, I trained as a classical singer at the Sydney Conservatorium. And at the same time, I also studied acting at the Independent Theatre in North Sydney. And so both of those ran pretty parallel. And I love music. I was brought up with music and I fell madly in love with the theatre. And they've been passions of mine for, ever since I was about 19.
Yeah, right. Okay. And had you beforehand, because you said you grew up with music, had you beforehand, but you know, before you were 19, gone to a lot of musicals or enjoyed them or even just enjoyed the musical, like, films that have been popular over the years?
Oh, yes. We love the musical films. Musicals themselves were so massive in those days. I loved the musical films and I was brought up I learned piano from a very early age.
Yeah, right.
And so that sort of introduced me to music. And then, and I always had a good voice, even as a little kid.
Yeah.
So I sang for aunties and uncles and played the piano and, and then I decided that I wanted to become an opera singer. So I went to the conservatorium. And then there was the myth, or possibly a bit truer in those days, that opera singers were lousy actresses or actors.
So right, I thought, well, okay.
I just wanted to round out my education. So then I joined the Independent Theatre School of Dramatic Art and fell madly in love with it. I was just, I'm addicted. I am actually addicted.
Still addicted. Still addicted.
Still addicted, yes. In fact, even if I see a grand staircase somewhere, the desire to just do these high kicks coming down are still very strong.
Start singing as you wander up and down.
Along the rail and all of that sort of stuff, yeah.
So you were saying that you were sort of doing both courses at the same time. Did you have any classmates that were doing the same thing?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah,
no.
Right. Because I would imagine that seems like something that you wouldn't have been the only one who would have been interested in both of those sort of artistic mediums.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I actually was a member of the Conservatorium Opera School at a later date.
Sure.
So we actually did performances of operas. So that was, they, you know, people would have gotten their stage training then as well, yeah.
Yeah, right. And with the opera, was that a genre that you were really well aware of? Like, were your parents playing opera all the time when you were at home? Or was it something that you went, whoa, what is this? I need to be a part of it.
Initially, our education consisted of going to concerts at the Town Hall in Sydney.
Fun.
Yeah. And I had an uncle who had his own private theatre. He used to show us operas on the screen. So the first opera I saw was Faust. And that scared me so much because of the devil that was in it that I ran out of the room. But we saw other operas as well.
Yeah. Less scary, less frightening. Yeah.
Less scary. Yeah.
less horror. Horror opera, that's a new thing. I didn't even know that existed. That's amazing.
Sometimes there are some awful moments, a lot of bloody shed.
Yeah, I guess when you think about it, a lot of operas, the actual stories, not really the happiest around, is it?
No, they're not. No.
Yeah.
The singing and the music is sublime.
Yes, and that makes it less scary so that people can tolerate being there, I guess.
They're scary than some of the movies that are shown.
Absolutely, 100%. You're 100% right there. So with all of this training, and you said piano from about the age of 9, you definitely had everything you needed in terms of education, skill, talent to go out there and write, create your own musical, which is something that you did. I want to know which comes first, the book, which is the book of the musical, or is it the music?
Well, what came first actually was the book.
Right.
And this is many, many, many years later, Leah, I must tell you.
Okay.
I actually wrote this one because this is my first major musical I've written, because I've worked in the schools in the district,
yep,
teaching drama and music and singing. So I've written many musicals for the schools, some of the local schools. But I read a book, a series of books actually, called Telos, written by a lady called Aurelia Louise Jones. And the story was about a civilization called Lemuria. It's based on a myth.
Right.
A civilization called Lemuria that lost its way. But actually, it's very a parallel story to Atlantis, where, the civilization disappeared below the sea.
Yeah.
But in Lemuria, there were 25,000 citizens who were saved, and they decided that they wanted to create a better civilization than the one that they'd been living. And so they created this mystical realm called Telos, a crystal city. And so that really spoke to me, because we are so saturated with negative news, and there's so much around us that we hear and we know is going on in this civilization, and some people think we're doomed, with what's happening with the planet, etc. That I just thought, I want to do something. I want to write something uplifting that's going to say, look, hey, this civilization did it, why can't we?
Yeah, so they created their own utopia, I guess. Yeah,
absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
I came up with the idea that the book inspired. It's inspired me to write the musical. So then I had to create a story to take us to this utopian world. And so I created a story about a young girl who has otherworldly powers, I really want to ask the question too, that are there people who actually have these abilities, who have the ability to see beyond the veils? So Mirabelle is one of those people.
Yeah, right.
And so she had the courage and the desire to utilize her unique gifts and to be of service somehow. Even as a little girl, she kept having images of this crystal realm that was, that was beautiful. People were always kind to each other and compassionate, and all the qualities, all the great qualities that we as human beings have. And she just had this idea that she really wanted to do something to help the real world, in inverted commas.
Yeah. Use her powers for good, not evil. She didn't
That's
go to
right.
the dark yeah. side.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nice. And there is something about humans and also human stories, like stories that people make up to tell other humans, that we really love the thought of having some sort of superpower or something different that will help us become a hero and help the greater good. And we love those kind of stories. And with music as well, intertwining and probably like lifting up some of these story plots or the story points that you want to get to, a musical with all of that must have just been so much fun to create.
It was fun. It was enormous fun, and it was a lot of hard work as well.
I bet.
It's been quite a journey for me, and I've really put myself totally out of my comfort zone. But I actually produced the musical as a finished production in my home city of Taree.
Nice.
We played three full houses, and there were 14 children in it. There was a cast of 34 altogether.
Wow.
Yeah, and the community, really, bless their hearts, stood right behind me. They just, you know, I'm a member of our local arts council, which puts on fabulous musicals anyway. So they were really behind me, and I was able to utilise their premises to do the rehearsals, and I just got so much support. I got a grant from the council.
Oh, amazing.
And the kids loved it. That was the thing, because one of the reasons I've written this musical is for children, because they are so bombarded with negative news.
Yeah.
And I just wanted them to see, look, you know, it doesn't have to be like that, you know, and there are ways you can live, a joyous life, and, you know, not be so browbeaten, I suppose.
yeah, totally. And because you were writing it for children, not necessarily children that had been as trained, vocally trained as you or adults, or even children who, you know, are really focused and driven on going down this path, did you as a writer have to be very mindful of how you composed each song for the performers?
I did audition. I ran auditions for it, and this music, Tari has a very rich music theatre culture and theatre culture generally. And so I wrote the children's songs within their range, yep. because I've been a singing teacher, so I know,
The
range children can do. So I wrote the music within their range, but they also like a challenge. You know, the finale is fairly tricky, and they did it, you know. So it was a whole cast, song, but they did it. And I was so proud of them. And they loved the experience. They really did.
Were they? Sorry, I just wanted to know, how old? What was sort of the age range?
From about 10 till about, there were younger children, then there were teenagers as well. So 10 to 16, 17.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nice. That's it's a massive range.
Oh, yeah. Well, the children are in it, and then because the heroine, Mirabelle, starts off as an 8 to 10-year-old, then she becomes, then the play changes to when time passes and she's a 16-year-old, and then she's an 18-year-old. So the little children played not only school children, but they also played fairies and gnomes and elves, and, you know, they had a good time.
yeah, a lot of costume changes. Who had to make the costumes? Who was in charge of that?
Mums of kids.
Yeah, sure.
Wonderful lady who is a terrific costume designer, so she was there all the time. Yeah, it just all happened. I was also able to borrow some costumes from some of the local school wardrobes who put on musicals, so yeah.
So you talk about this utopia and Mirabella's plans for a better world. Can you kind of, without giving too much away, obviously we don't want spoilers, we want people to go and see it if possible, what are these issues that she wants to eradicate?
Well, she's come through quite a trial by fire herself. Her parents split up, mainly because her father couldn't handle her, what he considered, weird ways. He thought she was just too out there. So one of the issues in the story is parental separation and also non-acceptance, you know, how parents have expectations on their children. They want them to be one way when they really can't relate to that way. They are different. Mm. So it's celebrating differences as well. There's bullying in the school playground. That is an aspect. There's the rascal in the musical, or the dark element, is a young boy called Sly.
Okay. And he's the bad guy. He's the baddie. Yeah, right, okay.
And he becomes absolutely obsessed by her and jealous of her abilities. So he works very hard to on the dark side to try and undermine everything she does. And I think, because she is so true to herself, I think that's one of the great elements of the musical. You know, she has stayed true to herself. She's out there. She doesn't make any allowances for how she is. And she shows a lot of courage as far as that's concerned.
Non-conformity, not censoring herself to become, you know, just part of the pack.
That's exactly right. Yeah. She's completely non-conformist. And she's got a couple of friends who will support her, but most of her friends just don't get it.
But that's what happens when you're a teenager, you know, you may change or your friends may change, may get different interests, and then suddenly, you know, people that you were friends with perhaps don't get you anymore, and that's just part of growing up.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Mm. Yeah. She makes no apologies. I describe her as being feisty.
Yep.
She makes no apologies for how she is.
Yeah, she sounds like a really interesting character that that audiences and younger audiences can find inspiration from.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah, amazing. So with all of this, there's so much work, like you said, so many years, but behind all of this, to have three successful nights, you know, of performances, that must have just been an amazing feeling. But you want more, right? You want more. You want more amazing nights, right?
Oh, absolutely. I do want more amazing nights in many more places, and I would love my music to be heard. I've had a lot of feedback about people who've said that they really love the music. So I do want more, and I have been promoting my musical. It's an interesting journey.
Crystal Dreaming.
Crystal Dreaming.
Crystal Dreaming, yeah. And do you feel like Mirabelle, even though her, you know, this is her story, this is her journey, do you feel that you haven't finished with her, in that you want her story to be told over and over and over again for new audiences?
Well, as the musical exists now, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yes, I really want this story to go out there. I really do. I'm very passionate about that.
Yeah. So many years and work behind it. I can just, you know, once you feel it's done, but you don't want it done. I imagine, like, I've never written anything like that before, but, you know, all that hard work, you want it to just continue.
I do, actually, Leah, and I would, but I am more than happy to hand it over now to someone else.
Yeah, right.
Who says, yeah, I really like this. Let's produce it. Let's direct it. Let's put it on, you know, at the Opera House, maybe.
Yeah. Well, there are so many towns and cities all across Australia that have theatres, and theatres that are capable of doing amazing musical productions. How can they get in contact with you?
I have a website which has got all my details on it.
Amazing.
And also I have sent the musical out to quite a few producers. And I think hearing my music heard, I've put my music on YouTube, it's very obscure, like, you know, if you don't know of the musical and you don't know of the songs, and no matter how many times you try and send it out. So I would really love it. It's actually played on ABC Radio, one of the main songs.
Beautiful.
Here in Taree. That was quite a few years ago. But, I've been told, you know, to go to regional radio stations and things like that. But I would really love the music to be heard, because then people could understand what it's about, because the story is in the words of the music as well.
Yeah, for sure. So crystaldreamingthemusical.com is the website to go and check everything out. Everything's there.
That's right. Everything is there. Yeah.
Crystaldreamingthemusical.com. Amazing. Ariana, it's been really fascinating having a chat with you, just about processes and the feelings, and because I like to, like, as someone who watches things, you know, I sit there and watch it. But I don't know how it's made. I don't know the process. So it's fascinating to be able to chat with people who have actually, from start to finish, done the whole entire thing. It's a talent that many of us will never have. So it's amazing that you not only were able to do it, but to come on and share the process with us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Leah. Don't want to be here in this plight. Don't want to
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
And now it is time for the quiz. Stephanie?
Yeah?
This quiz is all about doctors and hospitals and all the people that help you whilst you're unwell. Chester's still here. He's trying to walk all across the keyboard, and that's a lot of fun, as he tries to desperately get into the telephone.
Chester, you want to go to bed?
He wants to go
to
bed. Oh, he did. He's gone. That's hilarious. Oh, you're magic. All right. So, the first question is, Patch Adams was played by
actor? Robin Williams.
Correct. Well done.
Lucky I got that right because I was so confident.
This one will stress you out because it's an either or, but you did watch the show. What was George Clooney's character's name in ER? Was it Doug Ross or Ross Doug? I've done this one before.
In our Christmas quiz, I think. Anyway, it's Doug Ross.
Yeah, correct.
I remember the Doug, but I don't remember the Ross, so I'm glad you gave me.
Okay. What year did Eddie Murphy's Dr. Dolittle come out? So that was the remake of Dr. Dolittle, not the original one, of course.
Give me a little hint.
Do you want like a decade or what?
Yeah, that was exactly what I was about 90s. Okay, it came out in 97.
Oh, you... Eight.
Really?
Eight.
I thought I was so off. I was like, yeah, it's going to be 92.
Eight, that was good. That was very close. That was close, yeah. Very, very close. For a while you were watching a show... nearly correct, yeah. For a while you were watching a show called Holby City. That was a UK show.
Oh, God, I loved Holby City.
How many seasons did it have?
Oh, like it's a UK show, so it probably had like 24.
It had 23. It had 23. You were one off.
I was joking.
One off. One off. It started in 1999 and finished last year, March last year, 2022.
Oh, it finished. Now that finished. Makes me sad. I haven't watched it in probably 10 years, but that does make me really sad. 23 years.
Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it? I bet Casualty's still going though, right? It has to be.
Oh, yeah, Casualty. Yeah, that probably won't live much longer.
Another show that you really loved, Scrubs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh, I do have a thing for medical.
You really do.
I was about to say dramas. I'm like, Scrubs.
Scrubs is not a drama at all. My question to you is, there were 9 seasons, right? How many episodes of Scrubs were there?
How many episodes in total or per season?
No, total.
Oh, no, you're going to make me have to do maths.
Yes.
You know, my brain just stopped.
Oh, no.
Like, it just went, not doing it, not counting. Well, how many were per episode, Leah?
Stab in the dark. Do you want, okay, it's somewhere between 180 and 200.
Okay,
194. 182. It's a lot, isn't it? So that was back in the day where there were lots of episodes.
It was a lot of episodes. Wow, good on them.
Good on them. I wouldn't mind watching some of them again. They were good fun.
Yeah, I'd go back.
Really good fun.
Honestly, I don't know if I watched all 9 seasons. I was pretty deep there for a while, but I don't think I did 9.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. It's so long ago now that I can't remember.
Yeah.
A very important question because it's the last one. Donald Faison. He was a doctor.
Yeah.
What was his character's name? You can just say doctor last name if you like.
I don't know who he is.
Oh, okay. So he was also in...
Greg.
He was also... So is this Scrubs, right? He was also in Clueless. He played like the boyfriend of...
The boyfriend.
Her best friend, Stacey? No, I think Stacey was the actual... actress's name. All right, I'm going to give you some clues.
Oh, no, yeah, okay.
His character is also someone from a country. The country has a major city where it straddles Asia and Europe, and there's a river that goes through it called the Bosphorus. And that city is called Istanbul. And the people from Istanbul are from a country. And you would call those people, you would say, that Turk. Person, Who's yes, Turk? His name is Dr. Turk.
Dr. Turk, that was a very roundabout clue.
Thanks. I was hoping that you'd like grab it, that it would like trigger memory.
And then I got to the stage I was quite interested in.
You're like Bosphorus. I love that place. It was beautiful.
It was like a geography documentary. Lovely. Just like taking me on a journey, and I was enjoying it.
You loved that. You loved it when you were just cruising in the Bosphorus. It was lovely.
I was just cruising. Yeah.
Well, look, by next week you should be COVID-less.
Yeah.
I reckon that's how, yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, it totally will be. Yeah. So next week there will be a microphone in front of your face again, so that'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be lovely. Lovely.
So I reckon.
You know what, though? I've got some amazing shows to recommend.
Yeah, I've got a lot too. Next week. I've got a lot as well.
One in particular is absolutely stellar.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Is it amazing? Okay. And it's an Australian production. I'll tell you all about it next week.
She's teasing, doing a little forward teasing, forward announcing. It's brilliant. Got a lot of time for that. Stephanie, on that note, thank you very much.
I'll see you soon when I'm negative.